When watching news on television, my father could size up a criminal suspect with 6 words. All my dad had to say was, "He did it, look at him." And in his mind, at least, that was the end of the matter. But like all cases, it's not that easy to spot someone involved in the trafficking trade. Elizabeth Talbot is a professor at USD who studies trafficking.
You know, I don't know if we really have a type. I mean, there's a lot of different types of people out there. You know, a lot of times pedophiles are involved as perpetrators, people who commit criminal activities. There's a lot of drug involvement, and people who do it for money.
Talbot says there is no set stereotype for someone who would use other people for sex. But experts say perpetrators have two typical methods to lure their victims into their trust. Talbot says one group is known as guerrillas.
And the guerrillas are your typical human trafficker who would virtually kidnap someone and traffic them. And often they're involved with crimes such as drugs. They're involved with organized crime. They're involved with motorcycle gangs, criminal networks. You know, they kidnap someone, you know, off the street or against their will, set them up, whatever.
But others take a different approach, gradually grooming their victims and drawing them in. Sheila Ellishouse with the faith-based group Traffic Stop, based in Denver, describes finessers.
Kids, especially young teens, kids that are in foster care, even kids that are just, you know, high schoolers, are really susceptible to being manipulated. And that's what traffickers do best, is they manipulate these people into thinking that they're going to have an opportunity, that they're going to make some money, that they're going to be cared for. They use force, they use fraud, they use coercion to pull people into this. And then once they're there, it's very, very difficult to leave.
Just as there are different types of traffickers, there are also different reasons to get involved in the activity. Sex trafficking is a major reason, but Ellishouse brings up labor trafficking.
For example, maybe a nanny, offered a nanny job, and oddly enough, they are paid exactly the same amount as they have to pay for their rent and their utilities and their food. So in reality, they're not being paid for their services, because everything that's coming in is going back out to their employers.
The purpose of this series is to tell people trafficking can and does happen in South Dakota.
But in reality, traffickers are going to go wherever they can, and they move these people around. And that's how they evade law enforcement, or one of the ways. So I think people would be very surprised to learn that trafficking is probably happening around them, and they just don't know it.
Really, according to Ellishouse, it may be easier to determine whether someone is a trafficking victim than it is to figure out a trafficker.
They may display behavior that is not congruent with the situation. You know, they might be staying out late. They might be lying. They might be showing up in really expensive clothes because they have an older boyfriend, who also happens to be a pimp, buying them things. So those kinds of behaviors should be triggers for us to ask more questions.
Most experts say if someone fits those descriptions, asking a few questions is fine. But they'll tell you in some cases a straight answer won't come easy. Kidnap and trafficking victims can fall prey to what's called Stockholm Syndrome, an emotional condition where victims sympathize with their perpetrators. USD professor Elizabeth Talbot.
We have a real hard time convincing them that they've been trafficked, because they believe sometimes that they are participating voluntarily. Even though they're being beaten and coerced and forced, they see it as part of their relationship with a boyfriend.
Talbot has a warning for anyone who suspects trafficking is going on, and she's very serious when she offers it. If you think someone is a trafficker, do not confront that person.
Traffickers are usually pretty vicious, and they would kill you as quickly as they would kidnap somebody else, and they would hurt you. You never want to intervene in a situation where you suspect human trafficking. The other side of the coin is that it makes it very dangerous for the victim. The victim could pay the price for someone trying to rescue them.
Talbot and Sheila Ellishouse agree on that point. The safest thing to do for everyone involved is to contact a group such as Traffic Stop, or better yet, law enforcement. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Gary Allen Bolt.